If you would turn with me to Philippians chapter 1 this morning, Philippians chapter 1. From Philippians 1 today, as we're going to walk through a series through the entire letter to the Philippians, and we're going to see if God helps us. Have you ever thought that someone in your life needed an attitude adjustment? Yeah, they had a bad attitude and they needed their attitude adjusted. We're going to look and see if maybe we need an attitude adjustment over the next few weeks. And one of the ways we're going to do that is to figure out if we have the right perspective on things. Have you ever seen those pictures where they zoom really close into an object to see if you can figure out what the object is? Okay, so we're going to test and see if you can figure out what some of these objects are. So, team, if you'd put the first one up there if you're ready. I want to see if you can figure out what these objects are. Anybody know what that is? Paperclip. Okay. Anybody else? What was that? An avocado, okay. What that is that you're looking at right there, that is the tip of a marker. That's what that is. Okay. Yes. All right, give me the next one. Can anybody tell me what that is?
Chicken?
Bacon? I would want to guess bacon for anything. My first guess when I saw that was like the top of an ice-cold Coca-Cola in a glass. But it's not that. Anybody else? Honey? Steak? These are all making me hungry guesses. That is actually a close-up picture of a potato chip, believe it or not. Okay? Give me the next one, if you would. Anybody know what that is? That's probably the easiest one of these four to guess. What, glue stick? Okay. What'd you say? A cheese stick. Yeah, you're close. That is a spaghetti noodle. We got one more. Give me that last one up there. What is that one? Hairbrush? Sweater? I'm not making this up. No, this is actual objects. That is a tea bag. So those of you that drink tea, you're drinking out of something that seeped out of that. So as you can see, if our perspective is too narrow and too focused on a very small amount of space, we can easily have no idea what it is we're looking at and what we're working with. And that same idea is true when we try to learn how to relate to one another. There is so much that is not known, so much that we do not understand regarding the person that's right in front of us. Even if we've known them for a while, there's still so much that is not known. So I want you to look to the person next to you and say, I have no idea who you are. Because we really don't. Only God is all-knowing, right? And we don't understand each other because we lack perspective. And I don't know about you, have you ever had a conflict with someone and you just really were having a tense conversation, and after talking for a while, you just discovered that it was completely a misunderstanding. You weren't upset with them, they weren't upset with you, you just completely misunderstood each other. Or have you ever had someone in your life that you really, really disliked? You just did not like them at all until you got to know them. And then once you got to know them, you really, really liked them. It just completely changed. Or have you ever had someone that you just felt no sympathy towards whatsoever? Just felt like, you know, this person's a joke. You know, they're weak. I have no sympathy for them whatsoever until you learn their story. And then all of a sudden, you felt all kinds of sympathy for that person. And it's all because of whether or not we have greater perspective in that person. And how are we, with so much lack of knowledge and input, so many ways that we are blind to things, how are we supposed to get along with other people? And the answer isn't to avoid and stay away from them, though that might be easy, but how are we to get along in our social interactions with one another? And Proverbs actually makes a statement in 22:1. It says, a good name is to be chosen rather than riches. And favor is better than silver or gold. It is a good thing to have respect and favor in the eyes of the people that we interact with. But that is not easy to attain. How do we attain favor? How do we attain good standing with the people that are in our lives? And why does it matter? Why is it even important to have a good relationship with the people that we interact with? Well, some of it is from Genesis 2, where God tells us it is not good for man to be alone. And so what God reveals to us is that it is better for us to be inside of relationships, as irritating as they might be. Do you know anybody that's irritating in your life? As annoying, as difficult as they may be, it is better for us to be in relationship with other people. And it is an act of trust to be in relationships, because God said we are designed, we are created to be better off in relationships. And so even when it doesn't make sense to us, even when it's frustrating, we have to trust God that this is better for me to be in these relationships. Also, Ephesians 4 and Hebrews 10 teach us and show us that it is within the relationships that we gain the opportunity to encourage other people in their faith, support other people in their faith, help challenge them and strengthen them in their faith, because we don't have place for that without the relationships. And if we enter into those things, what we will discover when we help encourage and strengthen someone else in their faith, they become strong in their faith. And you know what a great thing is that happens? It's reciprocated. They begin to do good things in our life, and they begin to encourage us and support us and strengthen us. And that happens when we learn how to interact with each other in a good way. Also, Philippians chapter 1 and Philippians chapter 2 tells us that it increases our ability to effectively reach the lost. When we know how to relate to other people well, we increase our capacity to reach them for Christ. It doesn't mean that everybody that we interact with will reach for Christ, but we are much better evangelists when we know how to relate to each other. Now, anybody a perfectionist like me? Okay, where I don't like it unless it's perfect. At least that's my instinct. I have to work on that, and I work on that. And we are like that sometimes in relationships. If it doesn't feel good all the time, then it's not worth pursuing. And we have to let go of that and say, there is better, maybe not perfect, but there is better. And I need to know that I can do all the right things and there's still going to be problems. But that doesn't mean it's not worthwhile to pursue better relationships. And it's for the glory of Christ. It helps people come to the faith when we pursue better relationships. But also, part of the reason why it won't always work out is because of our faith in Christ. Sometimes people won't like the way we live, the beliefs that we have. Have you ever had, I remember I was working at a title insurance company, and someone asked what my view was on a particular subject, and I said, now why do you want to know my view? Are you going to get angry with me if I tell you what my view is? They said no, and then what do you think happened when I told them my view? He got mad at me, yes. Because Jesus said when he came to this world, he was going to put family members against one another. Do you ever see that statement in Scripture? He also said he came to bring peace as well. And so it's not that he wants us to be at odds with each other, but sometimes simply living on our faith means that we're going to experience conflicts. And we have to be able to distinguish between the conflicts that were created because of our fleshly behaviors versus the conflicts that we created because of following the leading of the Holy Spirit. So how do we do that? How do we interact in a way that brings glory to the Lord and draws other people to him? Well, look with me at Philippians chapter 1. The first 11 verses, Paul's going to give us some insight on how to do that. Philippians 1, verse 1. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are at Philippi with the overseers and deacons, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So he's, everybody that's following Christ here, I have some things to share with you is what Paul's saying. And then he says, verse 3, I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making my prayer with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. It is right for me to feel this way about you all because I hold you in my heart, for you are all partakers with me of grace, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness how I yearn for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus. And it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more. And there we realize what he's doing. Because he says, I love you guys. I have affection for you. I yearn for you. These are the different ways that I love you. And then he says, and I pray that you guys will grow in your love for people. Which tells us, you know what he was doing those first few verses? He was demonstrating for us how to love people before he said, now I want you to learn how to love people. And he says, and it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment so that you may approve what is right and excellent and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. We can have healthier relationships if we take three positions in life. And the first position is having a good heart towards others. Here we see in verse 7, he says, it is right for me to feel this way about you all because I hold you in my heart. Verse 8 says, for God is my witness how I yearn for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus. Now think about this for a moment. We need to feel love and affection towards people. We need to act upon that feeling. Now, when we think about when we feel love and affection towards someone, not just pretending, you know, not just being nice, but actually feel affection. Do you hear that in his words? I yearn for you with all the affection of Christ Jesus. When we feel love and affection towards someone, usually the way that is provoked in us is because there's something good that we're getting from the other person as we interact with them. They're warm. They're pleasant, they're nice to be around, they're kind, they're exciting, they're entertaining, they're meeting some need, and that brings some type of feeling in us. Think about the people that you feel strong love for. There's usually something in them that's provoking that to come outside of us. So then what do we do with the people that don't offer any of that? How do we feel love to the person who's annoying and irritating and hard and rough around the edges and inconsiderate and says the things that bother me and upset me? How do we feel affection for that? We can't control our feelings, can we? Actually, the Lord says with his enabling power, we can control the way we feel towards other people, but we have to steward that. We have to choose, I'm going to develop within my heart affection for all the people that are around me. How in the world am I going to do that? I'm sure some of you are thinking in your minds, people that you're thinking, I don't know how I can feel affection for that person. My boss, my neighbor, my children, my spouse. I don't know if I can feel affection towards that person. Well, he gives us insight on how to do that. First, verse 3, I thank my God in all my remembrance of you. So he's thinking about them. And he's thinking about why he's thankful for them. Verse 4, he says that in his prayers for you all, making my prayer with joy. He's thinking about them. He's praying about them. And as he's doing that, he's thinking about them joyfully. And he's thinking about them thankfully. And so the way we can cultivate affection in our hearts towards others is to look for the things that would make us feel affection for them. And some people, you got to look real hard. You got to look real close, or you have to step back and look at the larger picture, just like that tea bag that was up there that we could not figure out what it was unless we were to take a larger perspective. And so when we're interacting with people, I have to ask myself, what is good about that person? Because we're all sinners, right? But we are all also made in the image of God. And so every person that we're encountering, there's something good in them because God has placed it in them. And so I want to look for it and see what is good about them. I might need to lower the bar down a little bit, you know, so maybe I can't see anything at all. And maybe for one split second, they held their tongue. And I want to say, I am so grateful that they were able to hold their tongue for that 1 second. It came out of their mouth a second later, but I was glad that they held it for a moment. And we want to sow this kind of gratitude in our hearts towards the people that are around us, this positive thinking towards them, because we want to be able to love them. And we can't love them if the way we see them is they're no good scoundrels and there's nothing good about them. And so I need to look for the positive. Verse 3 again, I thank my God in all my remembrance of you. He's again thinking about them. And the way he's thinking about them, verse 9, and it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more. How? With knowledge and all discernment. Now we're going to see in a moment that the knowledge is predominantly focused on God's word. But it is the understanding of God's word in application to our interactions with each other. And so I want to love by learning and understanding the person I'm interacting with. And so if I don't like them, and it's okay to admit that we don't like somebody, it doesn't mean we need to stay there. It doesn't mean that's a good place to be in. But we're going to be honest. What does the Bible say? That if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to cleanse us from all our sins, right? And to make us righteous. So we want to admit, okay, this is where I am. I don't like the person. But I'm going to try to figure out if I can understand them. And you know how you got to get to understand that person that drives you crazy? Bad news for you. You got to spend time with them. You got to ask them some questions. Take interest in them. Explore things. Actually, genuinely be curious and learn some things. Learn about their story. And all of a sudden, if we do that, we might discover that there's some good in there that we never really saw. And there's some pain and some heartache and a difficult past in that person that is the reason why they're rough around the edges. And all of a sudden, if I can understand why they are the way that they are, I can begin to appreciate what's going on. I can have some sympathy towards it. And I can feel compassion and love towards that because I took the step to understand. I took the step to be grateful. And all of a sudden, I'm developing affection in my heart if I'm doing that. Are you willing to do that? Are you willing to take a good position in our hearts towards others? Secondly, the position I need to get in is to aim at spiritual well-being. In Philippians 1, in our passage, it says, verse 4, always in every prayer of mine for you. He's focusing on bringing the Lord into this picture. He's praying for them. As Guy mentioned earlier, prayer is a part of this. He's praying for them. Verse 5, it says, because of your partnership in the gospel. What he's looking for in them is their partnership in the gospel, and that's what he's grateful for. Verse 6, and I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. He's looking for their growth in the faith. That's what he's looking for. Verse 7, it says, it is right for me to feel this way about you all, for you are all partakers with me of God's grace. And so he's looking for them to grow in their faith. He's looking them for them to be in the right place, and he's challenging that, and he's encouraging that to come out. There was an institute that did a study on relationships, and it had discovered that the relationships that succeed have an average of a 5-to-1 ratio of positive to negative interactions. And it's not surprising that if the negative interactions are more than that, that the relationships sour and they go south and they fail. But you know what's surprising? The relationships that have more positive encounters, a higher ratio of positive encounters than the 5-to-1, also fail. Now, why in the world would that be? Why would a relationship fail if it's mostly positive interactions? Part of the reason is because sometimes when we're having positive interactions, what we're doing is we're ignoring that there's something wrong because we don't want to fight. We don't want to bring something up that's contrary. We don't want to get into something that is disagreeable. And so we, you know, kind of sweep it under the rug and ignore it, and we let it stay there. And you know what happens over time? It festers. They stay the same way or get worse. We get bitter about it and irritable about it. And all along, at some point, we can't have love and affection towards them because we're not working out the issues that are there. And so we need to learn how to understand people and be grateful for them and look for the positive, but we also have to have a willingness to say, this isn't okay. This is not good. Let's talk this out and work this out. And if we are able to do that, then we can have healthier relationships. Otherwise, and I've said this before, if we are not willing to be transparent, we don't have intimacy. Just because we have harmony does not mean we have intimacy with each other. We have to be willing to be open and honest, and that's hard, isn't it? Especially for those of us who are more agreeable. We don't want to say a negative thing. Now, that doesn't mean that we could say every negative thing that comes across our mind. Imagine what that would be like if every negative thought we had, we decided, I have to say that out loud. And I know some people that are like that. I just had to say it because it was in my head, it had to come out of my mouth. And no, there is an appropriate balance to this. So then how do I know when to say something? How do I know when to address an issue? Well, that comes from surrendering to God's will. What is God's will for our lives? What is God's will for the people around us? And how do we know that? Well, verse 9 says, "And it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with what? With knowledge and all discernment." Now, what is that knowledge? I had mentioned that earlier. What is the knowledge he's specifically referring to? Well, in verse 10, it says, "So that you may approve what is excellent and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ Jesus." Whatever this knowledge is, enables us to make the right choices, the righteous choices. But what is the knowledge? A couple of verses down in the passage next to this one, verse 12 to 14, it says, "I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel so that it has become known throughout the whole imperial guard and to all the rest that my imprisonment is for Christ. And most of the brothers, having become confident in the Lord by my imprisonment, are much more bold to speak the word without fear." And so he goes into this whole discourse that we read about how he loves them and how he wants them to learn to love. And if we learn to love and we learn to understand knowledge, we will do this love thing correctly. And then he says, "And by the way, I've been promoting the gospel of Jesus Christ, and people are being bold to speak that gospel, the gospel that is found where? In the Word of God." So what is this knowledge? It is the Word of God. In fact, chapter 2, he would add to that in chapter 2, verse 14 to 16, "Do all things without grumbling or disputing." Let me just stop there for a moment and think about that for a second. "Do all things without grumbling or disputing." Why? "That you may be blameless and innocent, children of God without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world." How? "Holding fast to the word of life, so that in the day of Christ Jesus I may be proud that I did not run in vain or labor in vain." How do I discern what is right to do, how to make right choices, and how to interact with other people? I discern that by understanding and knowing the Word of God. That is where we find His will. Can He speak to us outside of that? Yes. But the only way we know for sure what God's will is by studying the Word of God. And so when I'm interacting with other people, what am I going to hold people accountable to? I'm going to hold them accountable to things that is clearly revealed in God's Word. And I also need to not just know it, I need to live it out. Did you know that? I'm not supposed to study it like a school subject and just be aware of it. I'm supposed to do something with it. Because verse 11 says that we are filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ. I'm supposed to walk this stuff out. And then chapter 1, verse 27 says, "Only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ." And so I'm supposed to know what His will is. I'm supposed to live out that will in my interactions with other people. And when I discover that there is something in someone else's life that isn't clearly in line with God's will, I need to challenge that. I need to point it out and say, "Hey, this isn't good. This isn't okay." And I need to challenge the way they're acting and things like that, because if they're not in line with God's will for their lives, the relationship's not going to have the harmony it needs to have. And so I need to challenge that. But I also need to make sure that I don't challenge them on things that are not clear in Scripture. And so if it's not clear in Scripture, I don't want to try to make someone else conform to my will and what I want to happen and my opinions, because who am I to impose my will on them, right? And so this is how I know the ratio, is if it's important enough to God to mention it in Scripture, then it's worthwhile to explore in conversation. But if it's not, I need to let it go. But letting it go does not mean that I have to go along with everything. What does the Bible say? To him who perceives it as sin, it is sin to that person, right? The one who violates his conscience is sinning. And so even if there's no scripture at all that says it's wrong to do this, if I feel conflicted in my conscience about doing that, then I need to not follow along with that thing that I feel would violate my conscience. And so there's a difference between saying that this person needs to do something a certain way versus something I'm going to participate in. And so I might have a thing that I don't need to confront with somebody else, but I need to make sure I don't violate my own conscience. And so I need to set up boundaries. I'm not going to get involved in that. I'm not going to have those kind of conversations. I'm not going to go to that. And this is hard for some people. Because some people, if they're with a group of people and they're saying, let's go do that, that would be a lot of fun. And we're all in the same car together. And if I'm not going to go there, I'm going to have to say, hey, let me out of the car or drop me off at home. And some people are real uncomfortable with that because I don't want to upset the group. I don't want to sound like I'm no fun. And so I don't want to stand against that. And then what happens is they go along for the ride and they get into stuff and the relationships don't go the way they need to because they weren't willing to say something. I want to test something out for a second. In 1 second, can you say amen? Amen. Amen. Some of you I know have voices and I could see that. And others of you, I'm not sure if you did because nothing came out. Let's try that again. I'll repeat after me. Amen.
Amen.
You can say stuff. You just showed me the evidence that you can. And so when you're in situations in which this is not okay for me, this is not okay for my family, this is not okay for the way I'm living out my life, and someone tries to lead you along that path, we have to have the strength to say, no, that's, I can't do that. That's not okay for me. But I also need to make sure that that sense of not okay is surrendered to the Word of God. And so I might feel like that's not okay, but if the Word of God says I need to do that, then I need to do it even if I don't feel like it's okay, even if I don't feel comfortable with it. And so the Lord calls us to sacrifice our comfort and surrender to His will, to sacrifice our resources, to sacrifice the way other people see us, to sacrifice our relationships in surrender to His will. And the relationships will never be okay unless we are in that kind of position. But I need to also stand up for things. So you see the toggle there that I have to do? Okay, I have to stand up to some things and I have to let other things go and make sure that we know what those things are. And then lastly, verse 11, to the glory and praise of God. Or chapter 3, verse 7, Paul says, but whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. And so when you're interacting with someone and there's something negative in the interaction, then what I need to ask myself is, what's going on here? What's the problem? Is there a view of mine that's making this interaction go poorly? Are there some emotions that are within me that are making this go poorly? Let me look and see if there's something good I can see in that person. Let's see if I can change my attitude and my outlook. Let me see if I could change the way I feel about this by looking at this in a different way. And then I need to ask, what is it that I don't want to happen here? Is it that I don't want it to happen because God's word teaches that? Or is it because I don't want it to happen because of some feeling that I have? Or because I'm uncomfortable? And why is it that I'm not willing to say something about it? Is it because I don't want to hurt their feelings? Is it because do I want to bring glory to the Lord? And think about this. Everything that we do, did it honor God? So when I chose to say something to that person, did it honor God? Will it honor God if I say this that I feel like I need to say right now? And if I choose to not say anything and let it go, will that honor God? And the more we think through the Word of God and with the heart to want to honor the Lord and to love other people, we will figure out the right thing to do in these relationships. Why else does Jesus say that all the commandments hang on two things? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. That's all we need to figure out the right thing to do in every relationship is to think about our love for them and our love to honor the Lord. Will you stand with me? Worship team, will you come and prepare to lead us? That Philippians 2 passage that I read earlier tells us that if we learn how to get this, we become these kind of people among whom you shine as lights in the world. You've encountered those people, haven't you, that have such warmth, such love, such compassion, such strength, such wisdom, that they just draw you in. You want to spend more time with them. You want to hear what they have to say because they're shining lights because of the way they live. Don't you want to be that kind of person? What is the nature of your relationships today? Are your relationships okay? Is there a lack of relationships? Are you alone all the time? Is there a lack of interaction with others? Is there a relationship in your life that is soured and has fallen apart? Is there bitterness in your heart towards somebody? Animosity, strife, envy, jealousy, stuff that you've allowed to fester there and grow and not be delivered from? Are you attempting to influence the people in your life for Christ? Or are you just focused on harmony rather than surrendered to God's will? What are our interactions with each other like? Why do I choose to not say something? Why do I choose to say something? Am I trying to push things on people that are just my opinions? Am I trying to push things on people that are just my expectations? Or am I challenging people according to the will of God? And am I letting things go just because I want peace? I don't want any arguments. I want everything to be okay. Or am I holding myself back because I'm afraid? I'm fearful of those kind of things. And I'm missing out on the kind of ways that God wants to work in our relationships. And so if you're here today and you need help because you're just not walking through them the way that that should look like, or maybe you have a relationship that maybe it's not your fault at all. There's nothing you've done wrong in the interaction, but the relationship is not good. The Bible says that Jesus died so that he can make the two become one flesh. Jesus died so that we can be in harmony with one another. And so that is his heartbeat this morning. And so if you need healing and you need God's help to reconcile relationships and to do this thing rightly, then come and be delivered of bitterness, strife. Come and be healed and let the Lord do a work in your relationships this morning. Will you seek him today?
I stand in awe of you.
you would bow your heads and close your eyes with me as we look to the Lord this morning. And if you're here today and you would like for me to pray for the healing of a relationship in your life that's just not going as it should, again, the Lord can reach the hardest of hearts. Says he can take the heart of stone and turn it into a heart of flesh. And so maybe it's that person's heart that's like stone. Maybe it's your heart that's like stone. Maybe it's both. But you just want the Lord to transform that relationship. He can do it. It might take some work on your part. There might be some things you might need to change. But he can transform that relationship. Maybe you've been alienated from them for a while. You haven't spoken to them for a while. The Lord can heal all things over the course of lengthy periods of time. And so if that's you this morning, you want the Lord to transform a relationship in your life, would you just raise your hand for me? Good. Good. Several hands. Anybody else? Good. Good. Anybody else? Good. Lord Jesus, you see these hands. And we're asking you to do something that might be nothing short of a miracle, Lord. We're asking for us, Lord, that you would take bitterness out of these hearts. That you would take anger and strife and animosity and cleanse us of it, Lord. Remove it from our hearts and minds. And we ask that you would give us the strength, Lord. Even if it was mostly them, Lord, help us to be humble to see our errors in it, Lord. And to accept that and to be the person who's willing to apologize and seek reconciliation, even if we're just a fraction of in the wrong. Help us to do it for love, Lord. Help us to do it to demonstrate the love of Christ. And we're asking for that person, Lord, soften their hearts, Lord. Open their eyes to see, their ears to hear. Begin even now, wherever they might be. Speak to them, Lord. Help them, Lord, to be delivered from their bitterness and animosity and unforgiveness. And bring the two back together as one. Bring reconciliation in these relationships that were represented by the raising of hands. And we ask, Lord, for all of us, that you would help us to represent you well. That you would fill us with your love. That you would help us to learn how to love the unlovable, Lord. Help us to learn how to love those that are hard, that are difficult, that rub us the wrong way. Help us to learn how to love. But help us to also learn how to be righteous, to be committed to your will. Help us, Lord, to stand up for right things. Help us to have the compassion enough within us to confront things and challenge things. Help us, Lord, to be people that build strong relationships, Lord. And we're asking that you would use it to bring glory and honor to your name and to bring others into your kingdom. And we thank you for your work and your word and what you do in our lives. And we give you praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. One thing to always remember when you're not happy with someone and you don't feel love, good feelings towards those people, even while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And so when we're a mess and we're unlovable and we're not warm and we're hard, we're stubborn, we're difficult, the Lord's continuing to reach out a hand in compassion to pull us back in. And so let's be that same kind of hand to someone else. And let's learn to build these relationships. Amen? Amen? So next week, so you can change your feelings. Did you know that? You can be in charge of those. You don't need to let your feelings rule you, and you can be in charge of those feelings in regard to people, and we can be in charge of feelings towards our circumstances. Have you ever been in bad circumstances? Financially, health-wise, and otherwise, bad circumstances? God can help us to feel joy even in the midst of any of that stuff. And so we're going to look at that next week, but thanks for being here. God bless you. See you next Sunday.